And welcome in to another edition of the Future Blue podcast on the Fans First Sports Network. My name is Vaughn Lozon, and it is a bit of an emotional night tonight as we record on May 23rd of 2023. It is my co-host, John Simmons' final podcast here with the Block M Podcast Network, and last week with Maize and Brew. So it is a bit of a bittersweet podcast as we discuss Michigan football recruiting tonight. We do have some developments to discuss along the edge and at the running back position as well. But before we do that, let's introduce the man of the hour, Jonathan Simmons, Maize and Brew football recruiting contributor. John, how you doing, man? How you feeling about your final podcast here, your last week with the website, writing about football recruiting? We're going to miss the hell out of you, man, but how you doing?
Hey, Vaughn. Yeah, thanks for the great introduction there. it definitely is bittersweet. You know, I got a promotion at my job, my regular day job, which is great, and I was excited for it, but, you know, just unfortunately too much time now, and I didn't feel like I could contribute as much time as I could to the site, so I decided it was good time to leave. You know, I think I've been going since the 2018 class. I've been on Maize and Brew, so it's been a long time, been through a lot of exciting stuff. So I think you guys will do plenty fine without me, but definitely a bittersweet moment here.
Well, we certainly wish you all the best, man, as you progress through your full-time job, your full-time career. You know, you've been killing it, and you will continue to do so. It's going to be tough to replace you, that's for sure, but, you know, we got to forge ahead. And yeah, 2018 recruiting class, what a time for you to start with that infamous recruiting class now with, you know, Ronnie Bell and Hassan Haskins and Aiden Hutchinson, all those guys that eventually won the Big Ten championship, but at the time wasn't looked at as an amazing recruiting class by any means. And, you know, you're leaving on a high note as Michigan is now, it was number one. Now they're number two on the composite rankings after the rankings adjustments and Georgia added some players to their 2024 class. So now they have the number one class, and they'll probably finish with the number one class, honestly, but a good class nonetheless for you to finish your career here on here, John. So it's been amazing working with you. It's been a real pleasure. And, you know, you're always welcome back on the podcast, on the website. If you ever do find the time, you know that already. But it is out there in the public now. So, you know, we wish you nothing but the best as you progress forward with everything. But, you know, let's get to a couple topics that we wanted to discuss tonight for John's last podcast here. The really interesting one for me, which we'll start off with, because we're going to start off with a very interesting update regarding running back recruiting in the 24 class, because on Monday morning, Steve Wiltfong, who is the director of recruiting over at 24/7 Sports, he put in a crystal ball prediction for Michigan to land its second running back in the class. And it wasn't for top target Taylor Tatum. It was a relatively newer offer at the running back position. His name is Micah Kapana, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's spelled K-A-A-P-A-N-A. So there's a whole lot of vowels in that last name. He's 5'11", 195 pounds, ranked number 714 on the composite, number 56 at the running back position, number three in the state of Nevada. He plays for Bishop Gorman in the great city of Las Vegas, one of the better programs for high school football out west. He was offered by Mike Hart back in April, has an official visit scheduled for the weekend of June 9th. He also has some official visits set up for Hawaii the weekend of June 2nd, Washington State the weekend of June 16th, and Nebraska the weekend of June 23rd. As a junior last season at Bishop Gorman, Kapana had a pretty good yards per carry. He had 1,001 yards on 70 carries. That's all it took him to get to 1,000 yards with 70 carries. Also had 15 rushing touchdowns and 4 receiving touchdowns as well. John, Kapana, like I said, he's a pretty new target for Michigan at the running back position in this class. Put up those pretty good stats last season at a good program at the high school level. What do you think about him as a prospect? How good of an addition would this be for the Wolverines alongside Jordan Marshall?
I like Kapana's tape, actually, kind of a lot. I feel like he reminds me a little bit of Jordan Marshall, actually. I think they kind of have a similar running style, that type of slasher. They're really, you know, can accelerate really quickly and hit the hole at top speed. So I like that he plays against top competition at Bishop Gorman. You know, they play a national schedule. He's obviously really productive with that high yards per carry mark. So I like his film a lot. So I think if they were to add him, I wouldn't mind that at all. I think you just kind of always be thinking, what was the opportunity cost of taking his commitment ahead of someone like Taylor Tatum?
Well, and that's kind of what I wanted to get in to the next part here, John, with that last aspect of Taylor Tatum and how it pertains to the rest of the running backs in this class that they're going after. Because not only just Taylor Tatum, but they're also going after Darian Dupree, who is a four-star in his own right. He has an official visit set up to Michigan for the weekend of June 16th. Obviously, Taylor Tatum is at the top of the board for Michigan at the running back spot. He's the newly minted number one ranked running back by 24/7 Sports in their new rankings. He also has an official visit set up. That is for the weekend of June 23rd. So Dupree doesn't really have a timetable as far as when he wants to commit or make a decision. Tatum has reportedly wanted to wait a little bit and, after his official visits, like well after his official visits. So it's not really known exactly when he may pull the trigger, but it doesn't seem like he's in any rush. It could go into the fall, could go even later than that. But Michigan is right up there, certainly, for Taylor Tatum. So, I mean, if Kapana ends up committing, and obviously the Michigan coaching staff would give the green light before he gave a commitment, one would imagine that would probably not be good news for Michigan's chances with Taylor Tatum, who I think is a stud at the running back position, and 24/7 Sports clearly thinks so, too, has him as a fringe five-star prospect at this point, is pretty much on the border of becoming a five-star prospect. And if he has a good senior season, he probably will inch even closer, could be a five-star by the time it's all said and done. And to pair that with Jordan Marshall, who is a top 100 player in his own right, and is such a major recruiting win for Michigan from the state of Ohio, that would probably be, I mean, it would probably draw comparisons to the next, 1-2 punch at Michigan, a la Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. But I don't think Kapana should be shied away at just because of his low ranking at 714 overall right now. He plays at a national powerhouse out west. Like you said, John, he plays good competition at the high school level. So if he continues to add on the statistics and, maybe the high school program over there with Bishop Gorman, maybe they take a run at, some national accolades this year with Kapana at the running back position, potentially he rises in the rankings too. I know there was a wide receiver that committed to Georgia. I think his name's like Nitro Tuggle. It's like a crazy name. He ended up jumping like 300 something odd spots in 24/7's updated ranking. So who knows? Maybe Kapana could end up doing something similar too, John. You just never really know when it comes to some of these lower ranked players end up rising up the board, not only for for college programs, but in the recruiting rankings too. So perhaps that's in his future as well. But I wanted to also ask you about some of the other schools that are in the running for Kapana. Like I said, he's got official visits set up for Hawaii. He's got Washington State on the docket, and then Nebraska. This is a really interesting four-trip official visit slate that he has coming up in the month of June. So not only with him visiting these schools in June, but Michigan having other running backs visit in the month of June, I think John, by the time we flip the calendar to July, I think we're going to know a hell of a lot more about where Mike Hart is going to end up going at the running back position in this 24 class.
Yeah, I think his official visit schools are a little more reflective of his actual ranking right now. But I do think he has a chance to rise just because it doesn't seem like he had that much opportunity to showcase himself these last couple of years. You know, he did a lot with his 70 carries, you know, getting over 1,000 yards, but they only gave him the ball that many times that season. So I don't know what it was, if they threw the ball a lot or had another running back or whatever it is. I know Bishop Gorman is usually loaded with talent, so they probably have some other guys that they have to feed as well. But I think he just has a chance to earn some more opportunities here. You know, his offer list is also pretty short. 24/7 doesn't have him with very many other offers besides those schools. He's got Oklahoma State, Arizona State, BYU, Utah, which is a good running back school. I would visit Utah if I was a running back, especially on the West Coast. So I'm not really sure what his process is like, if he's planning on taking more in the fall or not. But right now, I think with those schools he's scheduled to go to, Michigan, I mean, he's clearly head and shoulders above the rest of them.
Yeah, no doubt with recent production. And you make a really good point about Utah. They have had some very productive college players over the last, you know, 5-10 years or so. It definitely would give them a pretty firm look, as well as Michigan, obviously. You know, and they had some good opportunities as well. Washington State, Nebraska. You know, don't want to discredit Hawaii, but that's not a program I would want to go to right now. If I were any prospect that has the offer sheet that he has with Michigan and some of the other schools that you listed off there. So yeah, a very interesting official visit docket schedule for him for the month of June. We'll see if he makes it out to any other schools, like on an unofficial basis, or I know the official visit stuff is kind of changing to where prospects can take more than five. And I know it still is limited by schools as far as how many official visitors you can have for a recruiting class, but we'll see if he ends up taking any other visits. But final question for this, John, and then we'll move on. So if Kapana, like I said, I kind of got sidetracked from my thought earlier, but if Kapana gets the green light to commit to Michigan, just in your opinion, do you think that hurts Michigan's chances with Tatum, or do you think that there is a possibility that they would take three running backs in this class?
I definitely think it'll hurt Michigan's chances. It's just hard to get three guys at a position like running back where you can only play basically one at a time. You kind of saw that with like tight end this year. Michigan looked really good with Prescorn and Walter Matthews. I already had Hogan Hansen committed. And then Prescorn committed to Michigan, and then the interest with Walter Matthews kind of just dropped off a cliff, and I don't think he's really a factor anymore. So it's just really tough to get to load that many guys up at that position in one class. So that's why I think it's a really tough decision for the staff here to take the guy you have in hand that'll probably commit, or chase the big national type guy.
Yeah, I agree. There's a certain number of players that you can take in a class before it kind of gets a little excessive. We're kind of seeing that with the offensive line as well. It sounds like Max Anderson, the four-star from the state of Texas, has kind of moved on because of that. So it's not shying away some of the other players, but it certainly shied him away. Looks like he's trending towards like Tennessee or somewhere along those lines. It's unfortunate, but that's just what happens when you load up on so many players at one position in one class. So I completely agree. I think if they take Kapana, it'd be really tough to try and convince Tatum to join a three-man running back class in this recruiting cycle. It's not impossible. It's just not likely. And I don't like Michigan's chances with Tatum if they do take Kapana. If they do take Kapana, I'd be really interested to see how his senior season develops. And like I said, if he ends up being a big riser in the recruiting rankings, if he does have a successful senior season. But we will certainly find out a lot more after official visits in the month of June. Before we move on to our next topic, want to give a quick ad shout out to Manscaped and Home Field Apparel. And guys, when it comes to Manscaped, they now sell beard products. And I actually used this beard product today. Not like I have much of a beard, but I was able to trim up with the Beard Hedger, which is a cordless trimmer. It has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair cutting lengths all in one guard. Guys, it is so easy. You don't have to have messy drawers full of extra add-ons anymore. I used to have one like that, and it was a pain in the butt. Now I don't have to deal with any of that. Grooming your face has never been so easy. And the nice thing about this, other than all of that, is it's waterproof. So you can take it in the shower with you if you want. You don't have to have hair all over the sink anymore. So join the 5 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for all their grooming needs. Use our promo code MNB20 and you'll get 20% off your order at manscaped.com. And want to give a quick moment to shout out Home Field Apparel as well. And in case you're not familiar with them, they are a premium collegiate apparel brand based out of Indianapolis. Not only is their stuff comfortable, it is officially licensed gear, so they do not screw around with their designs, guys. The really cool thing about them is the team over there, they study the history, traditions, and legacy of every school. And with all of that information, they create the thoughtful designs that they have that tell the unique story of each university. And Homefield has some great Michigan designs you will not find anywhere else. You can search far and wide. You will come back to Homefield. I guarantee it. So if you want some of that good-looking Michigan swag, head over to homefieldapparel.com. Use a promo code Michigan15, and you'll get 15% off your entire first order. You don't have to limit yourself to just one shirt. If you want six or seven, go ahead. You'll get the entire cart for 15% off. So again, Michigan15 at homefieldapparel.com. All right, John, you know, we talked about the offensive side of the ball for the most part in this last segment. Let's switch over to the defensive side and talk about some edge recruiting. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week as well, but we're going to bring it back up because there has been a slight development over the past week that we wanted to bring up tonight and give it to you guys. Because over the weekend, the Wolverines made the top six list for 2024 four-star edge Darian Mayo. He also put Ohio State, USC, Clemson, Maryland, and South Carolina on his top list. This dude is just a tower. He's 6'7", 250 pounds. He's from Olney, Maryland, plays for Good Counsel. If that sounds familiar, that's because it's the same school as a couple other targets for Michigan in this class, a four-star linebacker, Aaron Childs, and three-star wide receiver, Elijah Moore. Mayo is the number 181 overall player in the 2024 class, number 16 overall at the edge position, and number 5 in the state of Maryland. That is all according to the 24/7 Sports Composite. So the month of June, like we talked about with running backs, it's going to be another big month for Darian Mayo as well. He has official visits set up for Clemson June 2nd, Ohio State June 9th, USC June 16th, and then Michigan rounding it out on June 23rd. And I assume this, John, this hasn't been confirmed, but with Maryland being the hometown school, I would imagine the Terrapins will probably get an unofficial visit at some point before he makes any decision. So with all that information and all that said, I still think this one boils down to either Michigan, Ohio State, or Clemson, with USC being the dark horse on his top six list. I think for Michigan, getting the last official visit is a really good thing in this recruitment in particular, because he's going to be officially visiting with Aaron Childs, that four-star linebacker I just talked about, who is a heavy Michigan lean at this point. And if he ends up committing, I think that would play at least a small role in Darian Mayo's recruitment as well. At the very least, it wouldn't hurt. So I think Michigan probably likes the fact that they get him on the last official visit weekend, get him with his high school teammate, and just see where it goes from there. So with all that said, John, I want to get your thoughts on this recruitment, and then we'll dive a little bit more into the edge recruitments in general in this class. But what do you think about this development with Darian Mayo?
I like where Michigan stands right now. I think they have a really good shot at landing Mayo. I think the way that his official visit schedule lays out does Michigan a lot of favors, getting the last visit and being on the same visit with his teammate Aaron Chiles. So I think that Michigan got what it wanted, getting that last visit and stuff. So I think that they're just kind of waiting until that last visit and hopefully can wrap things up after that. You know, Clemson, of course, is a little scary, although they haven't been quite what they were the last couple of years. Ohio State is also a threat with defensive linemen with Larry Johnson there, although they have a lot more to pitch now than they did in other years. And then I think it's good that he's not going to South Carolina right now for an official visit, because they just have some kind of like unexpected juice on the recruiting trail. You know, last year closing on Nicholas Harbor and getting a lot of guys like that. So it's probably a good sign that he's not going there either. So I just like where Michigan stands. I think outside of Jacob Smith, since his brother's already in the class, I think Mayo is the most likely edge to commit at this point.
Yeah, and I saw that I believe it was one of the national on three guys. I think his name's Chad Simmons. He logged a prediction for Michigan to end up landing Darian Mayo, which I don't follow super closely with on three's national guys, but I have heard some pretty good things about him. I don't think he would just put in a prediction for no reason. I know EJ Holland kind of, he didn't dispute the prediction, but he said that Michigan's probably in the top three. I would trust EJ's gut over, over a national guy, just because he's a little bit more locked in with the Michigan side of things. So I definitely like Michigan's chances. I think they're riding at least top three, kind of like what EJ said, with Ohio State and USC. I still Clemson, I mean, with USC being that dark horse in this one. But when it comes to the edge position overall in this class, there are a lot of targets to keep track of and lots of stuff, lots of moving parts with this. So let's just go over these guys in general. So with the guys with the crystal ball predictions, we got four-star Ohio native Brian Robinson and four-star edge target Dominic Nichols. And the Wolverines continue to go after other guys like Marquise Lightfoot, who is a four-star. You just mentioned Jacob Smith, who is the twin brother of four-star defensive line commit Jared Smith. You also have four-star Elias Rudolph, four-star Devin Baxter. And, I'll throw in five-star Dylan Stewart, too, even though I saw another report that EJ Holland at the Wolverine said that Michigan's out on him due to NIL. But I'm just going to lump him in with the rest of the targets anyways. They could end up getting him on an official visit or another visit of some point or of some sort at some point in the future. So I'll lump him in with all those other four stars that I just mentioned, too. But John, what are your thoughts about this loaded edge board in 24? Because like I said, there are a lot of moving parts to this one, and they can't take commitments from all these guys. While it would be nice to have four-star edge after four-star edge, it's just not really happening in this class. They'll probably take a couple, but I would imagine that they're going to probably have to move on from some of these other guys. But like I said, lots of stuff going on at the edge position. It's a really intriguing, fascinating position to look for when it comes to the Wolverines in this class. So take me through your thoughts about the edge board right now.
Yeah, it's pretty complicated right now. Like you said, I think the visits will help clear that picture up a lot for them. But, you know, there's so much action there with guys that could commit. Who is a take, who's not, all that stuff. I'm intrigued by Elias Rudolph, who's taken an official visit to Michigan. You know, he went down to Florida, transferred to Deerfield Beach, and then came back. He's dropped in the rankings quite a bit during this, so his profile I don't really like as a recruit. Usually those trends don't do well for Michigan, or do well for prospects in general, but apparently he is a take to the staff. So it would be good to at least to get a good Ohio guy there. Dominic Nichols and Devin Baxter, I kind of get confused in my mind sometimes just because they're like really similarly ranked, and they're both from Maryland. I think Michigan sits better with Nichols. They have the crystal ball, as you mentioned, and I think they've just been recruiting him for a little bit longer. They're both will be official visiting in June. Nichols will be on the 9th and Baxter's on the 16th. And in general, I think the guys that have scheduled officials for Michigan so far, I think is a good indicator of who they have a better shot with. Like, I think the fact that Marquise Lightfoot hasn't scheduled one yet is a little concerning. I think he's the top 100 edge guy that I think Michigan has the best shot with, but he's yet to schedule an official. I don't know if he's planning on waiting until the fall or not, but they've gotten most of everyone else locked up to be on campus at least. So they'll at least get a chance to look at everyone in person and see how it all shakes out. We'll see if they'll hold off people committing until the end of the month, or if, you know, say Brian Robinson gets on campus on June 2nd and wants to commit, if they give him the green light or not.
Yeah, I think they would, just because they've been recruiting him for as long as they have. I think that it'd kind of be weird for Mike Elston, and Steve Klinkscale has built up a relationship with Brian Robinson and his family, just because he's from the same area as Robinson is. So I think that one would be a little strange. I also think that it's a little strange that he hasn't just committed yet. So we'll see. I mean, it seems like he just wants to take some visits, just to take some visits. And then just go from there, kind of like what Imarian Stewart is doing. It seems like he wants to just take some visits, just to take some visits, and then just commit to Michigan. I know it just seems to be a thing with some recruits these days, which I can't blame them, because it's like it's a free trip to somewhere. And if you're telling me that, like, I can take a free trip to, you know, USC or Texas, or, you know, fill in college town here that would be sweet to go to, I probably wouldn't deny that either. So I think it's fine that these kids take these officials. But with guys like Brian Robinson that have been kind of leans for a while, I think they will end up taking his commitment if he does want in the class, because time's kind of ticking on him and some of these other guys. And I think spots are going to fill up pretty quick. Similar to what we saw with the offensive line recruiting, because we saw so many guys along the offensive line just commit pretty much all at once. It was, you know, Andrew Sprague committed, and then Blake Frazier committed. And then they had Jake Garnera commit as well, and they just filled up instantly along the offensive line. I think that's going to be very similar to edge. I think we're going to see some guys like, you know, when Brian Robinson rolls through town on his official, potentially he shuts it down. He's been a lean for long enough. You would imagine that Jacob Smith, if he wants in the class, which it certainly sounds like he would want in the class, he's going to be a take. They're going to take him. You definitely wouldn't want to piss off the twin brother, a commit that you already have with Jared Smith. And then it seems like some other good things have been said about Elias Rudolph recently as well. I saw there was a prediction for him to land at Michigan, also from the folks over at On3. So we'll see if that develops a little bit further. Marquise Lightfoot, I know that's your guy, John, and I really like him too. I just see that as I see that one personally as a long shot. It would be super nice, because he also got a rankings boost recently when they redid the rankings, shuffled them up a couple days ago. And I'm pretty sure he's in top 100 territory now. I think he was like just on the fringe. I think he's now solidly in top 100. So he's a really good player too, also from a pipeline place in Chicago. So it would be really nice to continue that. I just don't see it with him. And then you've got other guys like Devin Baxter that, you know, I personally don't really know a whole lot about him. But I do know that Michigan it certainly likes him as a prospect. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how all this goes in the month of June, because I do think that, you know, once one guy drops, I think we're going to see a few more guys potentially look to commit as well. I think the month of June is going to be just outright crazy on the recruiting trail for Michigan, with not only just the edge and you know, the running back position like we talked about, but so many other prospects that are going to be on campus that I would imagine would probably drop with a commitment at some point in the near future. So John, I'll give you the last word on edge recruiting, and we'll wrap up. Any other notes or comments or anything that you want to add before we close the show here tonight?
No, I just think you made a good point about the filling up spaces in the class and how once you get a couple guys, you can create some pressure on some other ones, and the problem kind of solves itself once you get those first couple guys on board. And I think it's kind of weird. Michigan's really edges in the class right now are listed as linebackers with like Mason Curtis and Cole Sullivan, I think, is eventually going to end up there. So they do have some good guys already in the class, but definitely some more project types right now.
Yeah, no doubt. And you make a really good point about those two prospects as well, with Cole Sullivan, Mason Curtis, those guys already being committed. I could see Mason Curtis potentially moving to a different spot in the defense. It's going to be really interesting to see. I would kind of classify both those guys as like athletes on the defense. I know athlete, it's more so like, you know, either offense or defense. I think these guys are just defensive athletes as far as like, you know, will Cole Sullivan be a linebacker? Will he be a guy that lines up on the edge? Or, you know, what's Mason Curtis going to do? Is he going to go, you know, play safety, or is he going to grow into an edge, or is he going to be a linebacker? Like, he could seriously play anywhere. I mean, he's an intriguing prospect in this class, and he was one of the first commits in this 24 class, if not the first. I have to go back and look, but yeah, it's going to be fascinating to continue to watch this moving forward, that is for sure. So again, you know, before we end the show, just again, want to give another quick shout out to my friend, my co-host the last few years on the podcast, John Simmons. Again, like I mentioned at the top of the show, this is his final podcast, you know, with the Block M Podcast Network and Fans First Sports Network, and is going to be closing up shop with Maize and Brew this week as well. You know, we're certainly going to miss your contributions, John. Wish you nothing but the absolute best moving forward. You've been a total pleasure to work alongside to talk about Michigan recruiting, and the podcast and website is not going to be the same without you, buddy. So cheers to everything that you got going on. And I pass it to you one final time for any parting words, any final thoughts that you may have. Take it away, John Simmons, one final time.
Thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to say it's been an awesome experience. It's going to feel weird not talking to you every week and being on the site and stuff since I've been doing it for so long. But yeah, thank you for letting me do all this with you the past few years. And I hope you can find another recruiting freak that can has our knowledge that can live up to our standard here,
man. Yeah, it's gonna
be
tough.
Very many.
Yeah. No, it's gonna be tough, dude. You know, we've got some plans. Zach Breininger, who's a he's been filling in for some recruiting content on the website, he's gonna be like our interim co-host on the podcast moving forward. We'll try and solidify you know, the full-time who's gonna be my co-host you know, after that. But yeah, it's not gonna be the same without you, John. All the December signing day podcasts and everything, all the scouting reports and commitment posts, and, you know, just reacting to stuff on this pod. It's you know, it's not going to be the same without you. So we're flipping the chapter. Yeah. And you know, you got some really good stuff going on. I'm really excited for you too. So you know, we'll definitely stay in touch. I mean, I consider definitely. You consider you a good buddy of mine. So you know, we'll stay in touch, and, you know, we'll still chat about recruiting. Don't worry. It just won't be on the podcast. So, yeah, John, again, congratulations on everything. Job well done. And, you know, we wish you the best. So, in the meantime, to end on, you know, a little bit more of an uplifting note, time for all of my plugs here. So you can follow me on Twitter at @Vaughn_Lozon. Give John a follow as well at @Simmons_John. Follow Fans First Sports Network on Twitter at @FansFirstSN. And, you know, go read all of our stuff at maizeandbrew.com as well. We put a lot of work into the recruiting content there, as well as the podcast here. So we will be back next week, unfortunately without John Simmons, but we will be back with more editions of the Future Blue podcast. Until then, go blue, everybody.